And this is now talking with Emil Jacques Blum on 28th August 76 at Grenoble. Well, can you tell me about your educational background and how you got into radio astronomy? Yeah.
Well, I made my secondary study in a town of France in the northeast called Sedan, S-E-D-A-N. And then the war came, and all the family went to the south of the country, and I went to a school in a small town near Toulouse. Mm-hmm. And I went then to a preparatory class for engineering like university, it's a system of what you call in French grandes écoles, mm-hmm. to prepare that. So that was in 1942, I think, and then in the beginning of 1943, my father proposed me to go to Spain and to go to the army, because just at this time the North Africa had been invaded mm-hmm. by the Allies, and so I went then, and I spent about 1.5 years in the army, and was a transmission officer some type of commando type of
radio transmission. Do you mean
radio transmission? Right. Yes, but
commando. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
So this is type of thing. So I spent about half a until the end of the war. Mm-hmm. And then I go back to school, but of course I was not very enthusiastic about taking again to a very difficult examination. Right. And there was a special circuit for people of this kind, so I was able to get the equivalent of the master or something like that in the university in only 2 years.
Which university was this?
In Paris.
And what was the subject that you studied?
It was physics.
Physics, right.
Physics, yes. But of course, I was also interested, since I was very young, in amateur radio, mm-hmm. and I built radio set and things like that, as it used to be at this time. Mm-hmm. And so this was the reason why in the army also I was a transmission officer. Now, I went to the university, spent 2 years there, and after that, I was looking for some job in, the idea and research around electronic, mm-hmm. but not very precise. And I went to through some friends to a laboratory at the École Normale Supérieure, where the director was a man very interested in this type of research. And man is called Rocard.
Yes, Steinberg has told me about him. Okay. Yes.
And this man has been during the war in Britain and in some other places, and he was really a great expert in electronic war and this type of thing, and magnetic mind. And, mm-hmm. and so he was very interested in having any type of science developed in his lab around the electronic techniques. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, I was had a job for the Navy, so the French Navy, to develop some type of device, more or less research, a prototype of new research and things. And that was in 1947. Mm-hmm. And so I worked for about a year or so in this area, and I begin to get in touch with Denise Ann Steinberg, who was working next door, and we are at this time just beginning to think about making dishes and things like this.
Right.
And so I begin to be interested in their job, and I shift slowly, and in 1949 I was really working with them.
I see.
So we were three at the time. Denise, you hear him. And Steinberg was, 6 months before me or something like that, and then mm-hmm. myself. And we were, of course, encouraged by Rocard, who were really very interested by this thing. And various means, was able to get for us money and, not much at this time, it was considered
right.
And equipment. So that's how it came.
So okay.
Since the beginning of the... I was perhaps 15 or 16, I had the idea to go in this field, to go in a field linked with research and linked with radio.
Radio somehow, I see.
But not astronomy at all.
Right. So you could have just as well worked on the ionosphere or something else. Now, what was the first project you worked on?
The first project?
Yes, in radio astronomy.
Yeah, at this time, I have some experience in radio, building radio receiver and things like that. So I think, if I remember properly, my first task was to build a power supply, stable power supply, which was at this time not so common. And then we have, at this time there was a, on the top of the École Normale Supérieure, they have, Stenberg had made some tests with well, various antenna, but it was not very, not working very well because the, even then the radio level was high. Mm-hmm. And finally he, we were able to get some land in a Navy station near Paris called Marcoussis, mm-hmm. where we installed various antennas. Well, old Würzburg of the German army and also various antennas, a small array made by ASAC and so on. And I worked specifically on one of these Würzburg, building the receiver and making well, a stable receiver, which again at this time was not so common, but using old parts. I mean, it was a mixture of various receivers of various origin.
From radar,
from surplus. From radar, from surplus and so on, right. From the German army, for enormous mixture.
Right.
And well, this, and with that we begin to make solar measurement. And for example, one of the first publication is about solar burst at various frequency, two or three frequency.
Right.
We show that they were this type of burst were limited boundaries.
Right, I see.
One of the first things.
But now let me ask, did you have any contact with solar radio astronomers in other countries?
Yes, at this time, no, at this time, Denis have. In fact, Denis was well, about 8 years older, and he had already been outside. And so, and I think it was at this time, he went to the States.
Yes.
So he had some relation, and as you know, of course, solar radio astronomy began more or less in the state just after World War II, as in other countries. And at this time it was active. After that it dropped out and again.
Right.
Again.
But yeah, he told me about visiting Hagen and
exactly. And so he had to get in touch with these people, and also, but there was not many. There was some, but not many.
Did you read the journals at that time, Nature and so forth? With
I think so. Yes, I think so. I think so. But of course, I was well. At this time, I was born in 23, so at this time I was 26, and well, I probably heard from other people at this period of the idea of getting a PhD and things was very vague. Mm-hmm. I was just happy to make research.
Right.
And the research
right.
was considered as a hobby more or less, and there were not many candidates, and it was relatively easy to find jobs.
Right. Now, during the early 50s, there was you and Denis and Steinberg published a whole series of papers.
Yes.
And can you tell me sort of what the overall plan, what you were trying to accomplish with these?
Well, I think it was again on the solar
right.
phenomena, and specifically we had the feeling at the time that was we have already a good it was possible to get measurement of the flux, the total flux, but it was clear Denis was the theoretician of the group,
right?
And he had the feeling that need of, to understand better the phenomenon, it was important to get better resolving power. And of course this was why the array, we went to array, but also we went to solar observation, eclipse
yes.
observation,
right.
Which was, and in fact we that has been for 3 years difficult task. It was to prepare the equipment to go outside and to observe solar eclipse. And we went indeed twice in Africa. Mm-hmm. When the first time, I think in 50, in the Niger area near Bamako.
Mm-hmm.
And we have very clean result, which show for the first time at this time, of course now it's quite obvious, but the sun was in radio like in optic, not round, but elliptic.
Right, and what frequency was this?
It was 169, mm-hmm. 159 maybe at this
yeah.
time, 159. Megahertz. And the system worked perfectly well, so we were very happy. At this time, there was for this expedition, there was Denis, Stenberg, Leroux, Simon, and myself, I think. And we spent about 6 weeks or so in Africa.
Right. And where was the other eclipse?
The other eclipse, then we tried to have slightly cleaner result, or perhaps a little with other direction of the eclipse to have a better understanding of the shape of the corona. And we went to an eclipse in Sweden, and we try at the time to have two measurements together, one in Sweden and one in Tunisia. Boisho went to Tunisia this
I
time.
See.
And we went to Sweden, and in fact we went to Ansala.
Oh yes.
Rydbeck was, that was beginning his observation. And at this time I met for the first time Ein Wattin.
Oh yes.
He's currently working at NIO, so we are old friends now, eh?
Now, was there any radio...
I forget one thing, point of view of this period. Maybe a little further later on. But we get in the slim... When they arrive at this laboratory in École Normale Supérieure, a man called Peter Metzger, who was sent there by his professor at Munich just to have spend a year or so in a field of physics. And Rocard told him, well, just try around and look, and he was interested in radio. So he joined us for, well, say, I don't remember, maybe 6 months.
Right.
And in fact, it's there that Peter Metzger began to make radio astronomy.
That's right.
We are really old friends.
Right. I talked to him and he's told me about his time in France. When you were at Onsala, were they doing any radio astronomy or was it all ionospheric at that time?
Well,
at Onsala.
There was some radio astronomy.
I haven't talked to Rydbeck yet.
Oh, no. They were making some radio astronomy, but at this time they were not very successful. Because Rydbeck was a very authoritative. Man. And of course, in this type of new research, it was not so easy to. And he was putting all the people on one experiment for, well, say, 6 months, and then another one for 6 months. But I remember they were even trying to make some spectroscopic observation. But
some hydrogen
more or less working. More or less working.
Now
that was at 52, yes.
Okay. Now going to the solar eclipses, the NRL was going around microwaves.
Yes, right.
They were doing low frequencies. Was anyone else going to these eclipses? Any other
groups in the world? The Russian also have made some tests. And I think Dennis has been with them in an observation. Not with them, but there was before that an observation of eclipse, ionospheric eclipse, from it was close to the coast of Brazil or somewhere.
In 1947, way back in...
And the Russians were there and try. And they don't have
they
get no result, but they try. So they have the idea also to
observe. Well, they got some results, actually.
I think there was a
They were on a ship in the bay.
I think there were somewhere... I may be
wrong. Chukachev and Kaikin.
But I think that this man who has been later... who now disappeared, who was the head of the group at Pulkovo before Parisky, you'll find his name, but I'm sure this exists in the bibliography that there was a Russian who were interested also in eclipse.
Yes, okay.
This time.
Now, you mentioned that Denise was the theoretician in the group, and how would you describe the main contribution that you made and the main contribution that Steinberg made?
Well, Steinberg and myself were, I would say, about the same type of interest. We were both interested in the instrumentation. Steinberg probably better background in physics than I did, and also he was very good in social relation.
In
social relation, he was talking to people and
politics, basically. You mean
not so for a small group like that, right. No meaning, but just pushing the people and
management. You mean
management,
so he
was more a manager than I.
Yeah.
And for example, we will go to that later. The foundation of Nancy, he has done a lot of job.
I see.
A lot of work there.
Right.
So, but I was trying to make the receiver work. I think, well, it's difficult to judge one side, but my feeling is I had more obstinacy than he had.
Right. Now, what sort of work were you doing back in Meudon? Or it wasn't Meudon?
No, it was still until 52, still École Normale, and still the eclipse were. So when you asked before what was the general trend, it was eclipse. Having resolving power, to get resolving power.
Right.
Now, after that, it was just the time in 51 or so, when the astronomer begin in France to be interested. And in fact, I will say, one man who has been really a very strong influence in the whole French astronomy after World War II, Monsieur Danjon, who was the director of Paris Observatory, was clearly interested in new development. He had the feeling that there was too many old type of astronomy going on in the country. Mm-hmm. And he offered Denis first, and Denis asked him to take me with him, to go to Meudon Observatory and to have position there. At this time, Meudon Observatory has a whole staff of 25 people, including the keeper.
I see. Wow.
It was really a very, very small thing, with a large building, but a very, very bad condition, and it was more or less abandoned. And so Danjon had the idea, and at the same time he asked other people like Pecker, you know,
right,
and Kerel also, and a few other to come. And so at the same time, Rocca was appear less interested in radio astronomy,
mm-hmm.
and in the same time also, all that was in a period of 2 or 3 years. We had the feeling that the observing site we had near Paris, Marcoussis, I mentioned a few minutes ago, was too small and the level of interference was too high. So we looked at another site, and Stenberg and I went to several places while we looked in the east of Paris. We had the idea already this time to have an array of antenna. So we have the idea to have a flat land.
Mm-hmm.
And not too far from the main laboratory. So all that was the radius of, say, 200 kilometers around Paris, and there is only two places relatively flat in this, and with land not too expensive.
Right.
So we first looked at the east, and then to the south in the region of France called Sologne, which is very poor, and land is relatively inexpensive. And we had at this time in the group a few other people, of course, I've not mentioned a young man whose father was not really in the area. So we asked his father to look at possible land to be maybe sold with proper shape and so on.
I see.
And, very happily, it appeared that in this area many people were not so rich, but they don't want to show it. So one of these people, of landlord, was happy to sold for science something.
I see.
It appeared as more honorable. And he accepted to sold, he had a very large land, to sold a part of it with exactly the shape we want, which was a triangle with a proper shape.
He was willing to do it for science, but he would not have done it for someone else.
He would have, certainly, but he find it more honorable. I mean, because it appears for the neighbor to be almost
a patron of science.
And in fact, he was obliged to sold.
Because it was a government...
No, because he had no money.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Okay, well, that's a small story.
Well,
anyway...
I'd like to ask about when Danjon invited you over to Meudon. How did you look upon this? How did you look upon this?
I think we were very happy because he was offering better better laboratory. We had the feeling at this time that it was becoming to be no more a technique of radio, but a real astronomy.
I see.
So it sounded very good, and we had the idea of this. At this time, we have already the idea of building a large array. And Meudon, in fact, the array of 16 antennas and then 32, the first test were made of the antenna were made in the École Normale, and then I made a prototype which was working at the Observatoire of Meudon. And then later on we went to Nancy.
But were there solar optical astronomers at Meudon that you you looked forward to?
Yes, we were, I will say, welcome, but we had very little interaction because they were making a lot of routine measurements with equipment which was more or less the same. And also there was the modern technique of coronagraph, but that was made more at the Pic du Midi Observatory. So there was not much. Well, we had no problem. And all, at the same time, Danjon was a very strong man. Have decided something.
Yeah.
Other just to say, to be quiet.
Okay, so when you had located this Nancy site, what was the first thing you built there?
Yes.
What was the first instrument?
I think the first two instrument which worked was probably the solar centimeter array built by Stenberg, Monique Pic, and who else? Maybe Afsak, I don't remember. Anyway, an array of 8 antennas at the beginning, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And very soon later, we can begin to operate the large 16 antenna array at 169 megahertz.
Which you were involved in?
Yes, I was involved. I will not say I was the chief of the project because it was not our life, but practically, the group was Boischeau, Gina, who died a few years ago in a mountain accident, myself, who else? music. I think it was three of us. I think we published three.
That's the three of you on the publication in 56. Yes.
Okay. That's the main group.
These grading arrays, were they based on Christensen's design?
Yes.
You knew about...
Yes, we know, of course. But the idea, the difference that at this time we were the first to put preamplifier near the antenna.
I see.
So Christensen used this idea of array, but he had transmission lines from the antenna to a central receiver. There was only one receiver, and it appeared very difficult at this time to make 16 or 8 receivers working together properly.
Right.
And in fact, that's been, I think, my main contribution in this system. I built the preamplifier.
Now, Christensen just yesterday told me about that he visited your group.
Yes, he visited. In fact, he was with Laffiner at the time. He visited Laffiner, but at the Institute of, but he went. He came very often to discuss with us.
Right, I see.
But we were knowing this design clearly.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yes. And the frequency was chosen, in fact, after some study made by Lecoeur's wife. Lecoeur's wife was student at this time.
I see.
And she came in the group and for a year for a small not a real PhD, was a small thesis, and Denise asked her to look at the best possible frequency to high resolution measurement, and she found that it was best was to find somewhere between say 150 and slightly over. So that was the frequency was chosen for. Not by chance.
Right, and what were the criteria for the frequency?
It was the question of a variable phenomenon of the sun known at this epoch. To find the frequency where there will be as many variable phenomena of the sun as possible.
As many phenomena, did you say?
Variable.
Variable phenomena as possible. So, technical things did not come in at all? I mean.
Oh, yes, well, the so much, I think. At this time it was well known that the decametric wave, the metric wave was roughly the area where this phenomena, variable phenomena, were
right.
Strongest. And the length, I think, where the length of the array was discussed from the eclipse measurement, with the idea of having better, almost as good as the eclipse. So we look at the accuracy of the rendering power of the order. A few minutes.
Right.
So all that was more or less
4 minutes of arc is what you had.
Yes, 3 points.
Right.
So this all that has been more or less elaborated on more or less astrophysical reason, and not so much on.
That's interesting.
One thing I want to mention is that before that, again going back to the eclipse business, when we get this result that the sun was not round but more or less elliptical in the corona. It was a new result, and of course at this time we heard that Cambridge Ryle was beginning to use a interferometer. And I remember clearly that Denis sent him a letter saying, we have found this, and it will be interesting for you to look if you are able to measure that with the interferometer and to show that the solar sun is also not in a round body but more or less elliptical. And indeed it was published by Ryle later on.
Are you referring to the work of O'Brien?
Yes, Stainier
did one-dimensional, and then O'Brien did two-dimensional.
Yes, I mean, at least to have an idea of the diameter.
I see what you're saying.
But the one thing we remember, we are not too happy that later this was published, but there was no mention of the letter of Denis. So, we have excellent relation with Ryle, right. But we are, since then, I will say, a little careful.
Yes.
Because, sometimes it's, this thing happened, you know very well. Probably you heard many of this time.
Oh, I've heard many stories like this, of course.
Probably Denis told you the same, or he probably hasn't.
I don't think he did, but do you
I'm
think
sure, I'm absolutely sure. It was a letter sent from Dakar, where we were at the time.
Oh, I see, actually from Dakar. Do you think there'd be any chance of finding this letter? It'd be interesting to see it.
No, I doubt. It was certainly no double and no duplicate of it.
Yeah. What was I going to ask? Did you not have to worry about interference in the choice of the frequency?
No, at this time it was not bad because it was a television. It was already known as a television band, and the television had no powerful transmitter in the area, so it was not bad. We had no trouble.
But But what I'm saying is that, that influenced the choice of the exact frequency, though. You tried to get into a band.
No, at this time I think that was not. So
it was clear enough that you didn't have to worry.
No, it was not very clearly. I may be wrong, but I think we have not looked at this frequency business at this time.
Okay.
We were careful because in Marcoussis we had a lot of trouble. But with mobile radio,
right,
and military especially, at this time on plane perhaps. And it might be that anyway, over 150, it was about the same.
Okay.
It might be anywhere over 150. And if I remember, in Marcoussis working on 159, and 169 was maybe because the antenna was slightly better, because we have a slightly better efficiency of the antenna or something like that. It was fixed by a purely technical, the exact frequency was fixed by a purely technical reason.
Right.
And it was then, and we are still working on the same frequency.
That's right, yeah. Now, what were the scientific results that began to come out of the first arrays?
Well, the basic result, which has been, I will not say famous, but value, was a discovery of a type 4. Phenomena of the sun, synchrotron radiation phenomena, which very very rapidly that has been basically the work of Denis and some at a smaller level I think of Boischeau,
mm-hmm,
because Boischeau was an excellent man to reduce data, but I think Denis at the time had really a good physical insight of the phenomena,
mm-hmm,
and he was persuaded that it was a very important thing. And so that was the first thing. Well, also there was some work on the solar storm, radio storm. We have also some result on the ionospheric effect.
Oh, yes.
Because, of course, the ionosphere has an effect on this, with this resulting power. I think another result, which has been many times later discussed, but I think it still is valid, was a measurement of an eclipse of the Taurus.
Right.
And we found at this time that there was an increase of apparent level of flux.
During the occultation?
During the occultation, when the beam coming from the source were going through the solar corona.
That you actually got more flux from Taurus?
Flux, yes. An increase and not a decrease. A change, I'm not quite sure if we get a change of position or not, but at least I'm sure that there was an increase, which where other people have not found at the same or later on. But finally, I think it was very probably true, because later on this appeared to be true in another eclipse. It seems that depending on the position or the shape of the region of the solar corona involved.
I see. Depending on the nature of the blobs of
exactly.
Electrons. Well,
it appeared to be as well possible as to have a decrease or an increase.
I see.
So it was...
That was this paper, Boischeau, Blum, Leroux and Ginard.
Yes.
56, Comprendu.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, probably. Of course, I have forgotten to talk about somebody else who joined us at this period, but probably Stenberg told you it's about Kundu.
Yes,
Kundu, he made his first work at Meudon, at Nancy, and he built another interferometer, so, but he told you about that.
Right.
With Stenberg, at Tritanimano. Which, in fact, this is very interesting, I think. They have almost discovered the idea of aperture synthesis, but not completely. In fact, it was a variable distance interferometer. They were using two antennas and following the sun. So they have the principle of variable baseline, and they were using it to have a very simple model of the source of the sun, but they have not thought about the phase,
right,
using the phase. So it was very close to the idea of aperture, but not completely.
And this was 57 or something like that? Maybe. Now I noticed that in the popular magazine Astronomie, you gave a review of the latest techniques that you had acquired from going to the Boulder meeting in Nursi.
Yes, right.
And I was just wondering if you could, was that 58 also or 57
yes,
maybe?
57 probably, yeah.
Can you tell me about what the nature of this meeting was? Did you learn a lot about what was going on in the world, or was it?
I think in 50, I went to the state in first time in 55. I was sent by Rocca from the École Normale, I don't know where. Well, it was still Rocca. Anyway, Rocca was invited for some the official gathering of people interested in the link connection between university and industry. And he was invited in a travel organized. NSF was not existing. I don't remember who.
Well, NSF existed then.
But anyway, yeah. I don't remember who was paying for that. But anyway, it was organized, and he asked me to come in for him. So I visited several places for this particular task. But at the same time, I had the opportunity to visit a few other people. And I remember, I think I visited first Bernie Burke at this time. We were working at DTM.
Right.
Maybe Connie Meyer also.
Yeah.
And maybe I think I went to MIT or Harvard maybe.
Harvard, is it the Agassiz?
I think
station?
I met at Harvard at this time.
Bart Bok
and Donald Menzel, of course. And who was the graduate for me? You, I think I met also at maybe the later. It might be the next trip for the Boulder meeting. I remember I met Ewan, get the 21 nanometer radiation.
So what was your impression visiting these various installations?
Difficult to remind that. Cornell also. I went to Cornell. I had the impression that they have much more equipment than we had and much more experience. But we had the feeling at the time, because we got really good results, that competition was quite equal. And also at this time, the push to radio astronomy was low in the States. There was not so many people working in the field, and there was not so much money.
Right.
So, we had the feeling that, of course, we were learning things, but at the same time, there was a good balance, and it was feasible to work at least in a limited field.
Yeah, that you could compete
reasonably well,
even though there was much more money in America.
Yeah.
Now, what about the Australians? They were really the ones more directly.
Yeah, but we had a relation with Chris, so we were knowing what they were doing, and with England, with Lovell, very little. Well, but not much.
But they weren't doing much solo work in England.
No,
either.
And that was the reason too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we were not at all interested at this time in other things than solar work. And Dennis, I think, was right at this time. He had the feeling that it was a good créneau in French. A field between other, which were not so much studied in other places.
Right.
There's an expression in English for that. Sticking to the idea of solar research. And I know that at this epoch there was the same discussion at Cambridge, and finally they decided not to stick to solar research.
Right, they dropped it. Yes.
They dropped it.
Right.
And the contrary at Meudon with Denis. And I think at this time we were extremely confident in Denis' judgment, and we were not too much discussing about all that, because he was the man who had much more relation with the other countries.
I see.
And this was like he was really a bit. There was a clear imbalance between his experience and his knowledge of physics than different with one of Stenberg and myself or other. Because all people in the group, no people were coming from astronomy.
That's
absolutely
right.
Nobody.
Yeah. Which was usually the case in other countries also.
Yeah.
While I'm asking you about meetings, did you go to the Paris Symposium on Radio Astronomy?
Yes. But then at this time I was. And I'm still mostly interested in instrumentation, and for me, I realized later that for many people it has been really an outburst of astronomy, of a new field of astronomy. If I remember properly, I had not this feeling. I have not realized that. I was interested in making a good receiver and making the thing work, and much more at the engineering point of view than the scientific point of view.
Were there engineering things that you learned at the meeting?
No, as far as I remember.
Hmm.
So, for example, I was already at this time. Leroux was at work and made a PhD, which has been really a basic thing. Unhappily, he never accepted to publish it, or never interested to publish it. But all the problem of Fourier transform in the measurement and so on were in his thesis.
I see. When was
and
that?
And also he have made the 55, I think. 55. And also he has made a study of the mixer theory, which probably is the same which again coming 20 years later.
Hmm.
So he was really probably one of the most original and deep people in the group. And so, but interested in the theory of instrumentation. And certainly he had a few other artists also. Oh, and the reverse was true. We had a mutual influence to be interested in the theory of instrumentation and measurement,
right.
Theory of observation, and trying to.
But none of this work in LaRue's thesis was ever published elsewhere.
Some of it, but not
some
much.
Of it was. I see.
The secret paper on secret relation came much completely different.
That's right. Well, after having made the 16 dish mm-hmm. array, you went to 32 dishes.
Yeah, that was just an addition, plan to do that. I mean,
right.
It was built for it.
And
then I go to the north-south array, which was, of course, we had the feeling that getting a very good result with east-west. The east-west array get also, it has not been a basic catalog, but we had better position than other this time in right ascension. So I'm just talking of a catalog, and if I remember, this catalog was interesting, but was not comparable to the similar catalog in other places.
Right.
Well, probably slightly better, but not much. Still it was a solar work which appeared as the most promising, and we decided to build a north-south array to have a two-dimensional coverage of the sun. At this time, of course, for various reasons, it was decided to build only 8 of them. 8 antenna because of the problem of the delay line and all the stuff. First, there was 2 versions of the system. The antenna was the same in the 2 versions. The preamplifier was the same as the east-west array. All that was working all right. But at the beginning, we tried to have a single output system with a sweeping low phase.
I see.
And this system proved to work, but very badly. And especially the phase sweeper was a mechanical system, which was not convenient, and there was a lot of problem. At this time, I had the idea of using all the combination of the antenna, and to have in fact all the direction in the sky at the same time, a beam.